Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
No Vanessa today, just me. Vanessa's up in Indianapolis with her dad. We're hoping for the best for her father. Send some well wishes Vanessa's way. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. Getting a little, I don't want to sound like a diva, but now that I have a full-time producer, I think I can, right? Can I? Can I be a little bit of a diva? Every single time I hear myself say, people don't know I'm a cat dad. Like, a little part of me is dying inside. Like, I'm actually becoming ashamed of the fact that I'm a cat dad. Because only because of that drop. That's it. That's it. That's all. That's fine. I'm moving beyond it. But, I mean, now by this point, I think everyone knows I'm a cat dad. Based off the drop. So I feel like now, Paul of the past is factually incorrect with that audio. But that was just me. And now we know.
Oh, so you just are upset with the people don't know that I'm a cat dad. Now you think
everyone's
on the same page.
So now we need to update it with like me like making some absolutely ludicrous statement. And then I'll get tired of that a month from now and I'll whine about it then.
What, something about Deshaun Watson you're thinking?
I don't know. It's a good question. You can text that in. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Hey! What should stay instead? What should Paul say instead? What's the craziest thing you've heard him say over all of this time? We're still waiting to see what happens with Deshaun Watson as far as a suspension goes. But we did learn yesterday that it's possible, maybe not probable, but possible that Watson could miss a lot of time this coming season. Mike Florio's pretty tuned in when it comes to legal matters in the NFL. He was on Rich Eisen's show yesterday, and when I heard this, my ears perked up. Here is Mike Florio. Michael.
I think it's entirely possible that if 22 cases are pending, when August rolls around, they'll put him on paid leave. And I think that he needs to understand that in no uncertain terms. And once he does, that's when his no intention to settle the cases will become every intention to settle the cases. But he's got to understand what it means to fight. And even though there's not a price to be paid, because he still gets paid, the price is you don't get to play. And the NFL has always said they don't think that's punishment. Of course it's punishment. I mean, you want to give anybody else a paid vacation from their job, 99% of the people out there would say, I'll take it. But for football players, they want to do their job. They want to play, especially after a guy sat out all of last year for different reasons, but similar. This year, if he starts his time in Cleveland with the league saying, you're on ice until these 22 cases are over, if he knows that, then he gets these cases settled, I believe.
So, per Florio, if he fights this and things take their time, there's a chance that he might end up being on paid leave before a suspension even takes place. So what you want right now is, if you want the Texans to have a better draft pick, and you're looking at it entirely from that perspective, you want Deshaun Watson and Democracy to team up so that Deshaun Watson can do what every single American wants to do. Keep their money. And that's what you're looking for. Tweet in from Not Santa. Sean, you need to call the rehab center now. Paul needs serious help. Deshaun, addict. Fair point. I saw this on Twitter yesterday, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this. The Buffalo Bills have a new stadium. It's going to be $1.4 billion. And the state's going to pay for 60%. Of said stadium, which is lame, but it's not surprising. Torrey Smith, ex-NFL wide receiver, from the Virginia area originally, tweeted this out. And there is a growing group of people like this online. Some of them are ex-players, like Kurt Warner. Others, you have the Mina Kimes of the world, football talking heads, that would like this to happen. Torrey Smith retweeted it by saying, why would you pay this much money in Buffalo and not build a dome? I retweeted this and said, because I think it's fun to watch indoor teams freeze in the cold in the playoffs. And I do. This is 100% toxic masculinity. But you know what? I like watching teams absolutely lose because of the elements. Football's the one sport where the elements are welcomed into the equation. Monsoon rain conditions, snow, unbelievably hot days, ridiculous wind. I like that about football. I like the weird variable that gets thrown into the mix from time to time. It makes it a little more unpredictable. I mean, in basketball, the only thing that you'll get close to that is someone's air conditioning breaks in the middle of an NBA Finals game, like we saw between the Spurs and the Cavs. And I think LeBron had cramps or something like that. I don't blame him for having cramps that game, by the way. It's the summer, San Antonio, and there's no air conditioning, and you're in this like metal box. That must have sucked.
With 25,000 people.
Yeah, didn't even think about that. I mean, shoot, I'm wondering about some of these old basketball arenas back in the day, like the Boston Garden, which was a total dump. And it was like you got just people smoking cigarettes all out, and it's just ripping heaters, and it's just straight
like a tiny locker room. And
yeah,
like, everything was tiny back then.
Yeah, but it, you know, it had more appeal. It was like, you know, there was something about it. It was charming. I'm just kidding. Like all these dump stadiums, we look back at with nostalgia, and it's probably a better experience to go and enjoy the game as far as like from a loud perspective. But you know, you go to some of these places. I remember the. Going up in Seattle, everyone was telling me about how the King Dome didn't have enough bathrooms. And I'm sure that the Astrodome had its own issues, you know, like other than just that it was falling apart by the time it was, you know, the Oilers were about to leave town and stuff. But I'm curious as to how y'all feel about domes. Obviously, the Texans play in one. They play at NRG Stadium. It's air-conditioned. It's nice. You know, it's getting up there in age, and I get nervous about the idea of all of a sudden a team that sees that stadium is now 20 years old feeling the need to build another one with a lot of government money. But assuming that doesn't happen. I remember we always used to laugh about the fact that the Texans would retract their roof like once every 3 years. And I think they did it once this year. I could be wrong on that front, where there actually wasn't a roof above the stadium during the game. But don't you want to take advantage of whatever random weather advantage you might be able to have? I always felt this way. Growing up in Massachusetts, I loved the fact that when it came to playoff time, you knew that whatever team your team was playing was going to have to go outside and play in the snow. When I was living in Florida, where I went to high school, I used to live in Tampa Bay, and I used to go to a couple of Bucks games from time to time. I always liked that the Bucks had a bit of an edge because it was so hot. It's hot as balls out there. I mean, as someone who like played high school football, there was a reason, and I'm sure anyone who's played high school football here in Texas knows that like you play as early as you possibly can for some practices because it gets so damn hot. I felt like that could be advantageous for teams. I feel like the cold can be advantageous for teams. And yet, there's this growing population of people that want all football to be played inside. I think they're soft, and I think they suck. And I hope they die. I'm just kidding. That was a Samuel L. Jackson quote. What was it? He says, I hope they burn in hell. Like, I'm not feeling that way. But I do hope that they realize that this is bad. You don't want everything to be played at indoor, pristine conditions. There is a manly factor to football that might be considered toxic masculinity in the eyes of some. But don't we watch this sport because there's these massive human beings running super fast that are blasting the bejesus out of each other? And don't we also watch it because of the weather and because of the conditions? And we like to think that about how tough these guys are when they're going out in the slop and playing against one another or the snow or any of these things. I like the idea of elements and conditions, and I'm sure a lot of players don't like it, but who cares what they think? They're making millions and millions of dollars. I think it's a more entertaining product when you add that variable in. I think it could be a more fun fan experience, probably not when it's hot outside. I doubt that many people here would want to watch a Texans game in August, in September, when it's 100 degrees or so outside. It's just beaming heat. It's humid. It's gross. It's sticky. I don't think you want that. But at the same time, if you're on... There's an advantage that can be taken from that. So I'm curious as to how you feel about that. I saw that tweet yesterday and I laughed a little bit. I mean, some of my favorite football memories growing up are watching teams from a dome go play in the cold and just get the hell beaten out of them, just punched to smithereens. beaten up, slipping in the snow, looking cold, looking emasculated. I loved it. I'm a meathead. Whatever. I like it. I'm curious as to how you feel about it. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
No, Vanessa, she's up in Indianapolis with her dad. We're wishing her father the best, and we're hopefully going to have Vanessa back on the show tomorrow, probably from Indianapolis. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. We've been joking about this over the course of this morning. I might have an addiction to talking about Deshaun Watson. I think I might have an addiction to just talking about my sports exes. And no one likes that guy, right? That person's the worst. Yeah, you know, old baby, she was so hot. Dead ass. Oh, man. Never forget it. She was so sweet to me, so kind, so tender. She cheated on you. No, man. You just don't get it. You don't get what we had. It was special. But I hate her, and I hope she dies. Like, that's generally the range of conversation that you're going to hear from somebody who talks about their ex. Well, just like with Deshaun Watson, maybe I do need an intervention when it comes to talking about Watson. I do think it is, as a texter pointed out, a little bit relevant just because of the fact that they still have draft picks of the Cleveland Browns going forward. But I am 100% addicted to talking about James Harden. I can't help it. I could not stand him here, and I'm annoyed that I wasn't here when he left because I couldn't stand on the table and pat myself on the back for being the one person who thought that he sucked. I hated everything about the way he played. Didn't like his attitude. I didn't like his lack of effort on defense, but he was so good as a post defender. For what? Two possessions a game? Shut up about that bogus crap. I saw some of the red-headed psychopaths online who are the worst Rockets fans who were like saying, like, I can't believe people are saying Luka Doncic is better than James Harden. Why are you still defending him, first of all? And then they're bringing up, like, yeah, his post-defense. Shut up about his post-defense. Just because he has a huge ass does not make him a good post-defender.
The only thing sadder than you talking about your sports exes in a kind of demeaning way is the people that, like, still somehow think James Harden is on the Rockets.
Yes, and they're rooting for him.
Go to bat for James Harden every night. I'm like, you don't have to do this. Like, just before the playoffs start, let me just give you the exit ramp of, like, you don't have to defend this guy anymore.
You don't. You don't have to anymore. But I feel like I need to do this over and over again. That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. You're so right. There are so many people that are like this. And here's the thing. He is not playing well in Philadelphia right now. And this is something I missed from Sunday, because on Sunday I was so transfixed by what took place at the Oscars, at the Academy Awards. But it's fine, because Will Smith put out a notes apology, so it's over. No one,
water under the bridge.
It's totally forgotten now, you know?
Who cares?
Yeah, no one cares anymore. James Harden played against the Phoenix Suns on Sunday night. The Suns are probably the best team in basketball right now. If you've watched them, Chris Paul has totally transformed the attitude of that team. And if you've watched Devin Booker, who I am obsessed with just because I'm like, I want to be him. I mean, he is mean out there. He is barking at people, and he is hanging out with Kendall Jenner. Pretty sweet life.
Drives some cool cars, too.
Absolutely. Lots of things going in his favor. They were bullying James Harden in this game, the Suns, when they played the Sixers. They were looking for him. Every single time they could find a matchup with him, they were looking for him. They were finding him. Chris Paul, who hates Doc Rivers, was looking over to the sideline, and you saw him, like, making eye contact with Doc Rivers. You saw Devin Booker, like, laughing at some of Harden's BS flailing, trying to get fouls. It was great. And after the game, Harden, who did not play well, 14 points in nearly 40 minutes of a game against a real basketball team, a night where he was 2 of 11 from the field, 8 of 8 from the free throw line. He had this to say after the game, where he was bullied. a couple of calls that didn't get called. Of course he did. God, he's the worst. He brings up the calls right away. 8 of 8 from the free throw line. A couple of calls didn't happen. A couple of just missed shots, and I've got to be more aggressive. Those latter things might be true. I can't wait for the playoffs. I can't wait. Those Philadelphia psychopaths are going to turn on him so quickly, and it's going to be delicious to watch them all rise up and change their tune on this guy. And then he'll leave in the offseason because he hasn't signed that extension yet. He'll go somewhere else. He'll get the bag. He'll enjoy his life. He is succeeding at life. I just hate watching him play, and I love that things seem to be catching up with him in terms of his ability on the court.
Yeah, or even worse for Philadelphia, that Daryl Morey gives them the bag, and now they're stuck with James Harden, who, A, is not going to age gracefully, as we're already watching right before our eyes. And then, B, this is the most predictable thing ever, that he's going to be disappointing in Game 6 against the Celtics in the second round, and well, that's when it's going to happen.
Let's not, don't
Game
make me,
7 against the Bulls in the first
say,
round,
thank
maybe.
You. Say another team, because Boston has been playing really well, and I'm like, I don't believe it. That's my favorite basketball team. I don't believe any of this. I'm wondering just what the hell has changed. This is the same team that's been playing for the last couple of years. They've consistently blown it. Robert Williams from A&M, who I love watching. Any Aggie out there, thank you so much. I love that guy. He got hurt, like tore his meniscus or something. So I am not confident in the Celtics at all right now, even though they are playing fantastic basketball. But I am confident in more of this from Harden. It was against Chris Paul too. I wish I'd watched this game. I really do. Because I would have gotten off too much by it. And I do have a sports X problem. I do. I really do. But I think we're all cool with it about James Harden, right? Just me coming out of nowhere and just randomly yelling about
him.
From
the clouds, yeah.
Yeah, from the top rope. Let's go. Anyway, I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This took place in the world of baseball. And look, everyone says things during the offseason. How much of them do you actually believe? But Dave Roberts, manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, they don't do the thing like the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I'll pause. I always get distracted by that. He was on the Dan Patrick Show, and he guaranteed something for his Dodgers this coming year.
The Dodgers will win the World Series if
we play a full season and there is a postseason.
Wait.
We are winning the World Series in 2022.
So,
but I know where you're going with that.
No, what
we're
do you
winning the World Series this year. Put it on record.
You are winning the World Series.
We are winning the World Series. That's our focus. That's our goal.
Very bold. Very bold. I mean, look, they did win the World Series in 2020. I put an asterisk on that one. Is it because I'm petty and spiteful and hate that the Astros have done the same thing with 2017? 100%. It's an asterisk. They didn't play the Astros, number one. Number two, you're playing like in this weird bubble situation.
They also played 100 less games than they normally do.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Clayton Kershaw didn't know that it was that time of the year because his body clock was probably feeling a little bit different baseball. He didn't think it was October this time around. It finally worked. So he didn't puke all over himself this time around. I don't get why you would put that on yourself. I mean, I get being confident. But this isn't like college football. This is a sport where random stuff happens. Like, remember in 2019, the Dodgers were supposedly the best team in the National League going in, and they got wiped out by the Nationals like right away. And Clayton Kershaw played terribly. What a surprise. I don't understand why the Dodgers would put this on themselves. I guess they're still feeling themselves. You know, they did win a World Series a little bit ago, but I don't know. I mean, they've spent the most money. I feel like all you are doing is just putting undue pressure on yourself. The expectation is that you should win. I don't think you need to guarantee anything. Because if you don't actually make good on the guarantee, then what the hell are you? Is this the team that we hate the most? 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Do we hate the Dodgers or do we hate the Yankees more? Curious on that front. You can answer that. Tweet me at Gallant says, Vanessa and Gallant. No, Vanessa. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We do have some breaking news in the National Football League. Before we get back to that, who do you hate more, the Dodgers or the Yankees? Or is there some other team that you hate? I don't really think there's any one that you can really put up on the same level as those two. But this from pretty much every single NFL reporter at the same time, because the NFL owners' meetings are taking place, we will have a different overtime in the playoffs. The NFL owners have passed the proposal that will allow for both teams to have a possession for the playoffs only. Considering it sounded like there wasn't a lot of progress being made, this is certainly an interesting development. How do I feel about the rule? I mean, it's going to shut up people for now, but here's the problem. And it's only for the playoffs, so it's not going to be during the regular season. Some people are going to get mad during the regular season still, but who cares? It's only the playoff game that matters. What happens when both teams score on their first possession in overtime? Then what happens? We are right back in the same situation that we are in. And in that Bills-Chiefs game, do you know what was going to happen? Those two teams were going to keep scoring and alternating possessions. One possession each. I don't think this is going to make people happy the way that it seems at face value it could. There are too many great offenses in the NFL, and there are too many rules against defensive players in the league that are going to keep, I feel like, those guys just gassed in overtime. They will be playing catch-up with those offensive players. They're going to be just trying their hardest to keep it going because these teams are different now. It's not just that they have explosive offenses. These teams that have mobile quarterbacks, in addition to being able to throw all over the place, it is just hard if you're a defensive player to keep that in check for 60 minutes. Now you're asking for, I guess, a defensive stop. And I do appreciate Lovie Smith's feeling when it comes to overtime. There is a defense on the other side of the ball, right? He said. When you kick the ball off, you have the ball deep down there and you can take the ball away, get it and score right there and win. I'm okay. There's a reason why we've had these rules in play for a long period of time. I think change is always good too, to make it to where both teams are guaranteed an opportunity to touch the football. We're not against that at all either. But what he's saying at first, I mean, in principle, it's right. Defenders can stop somebody, but defenders don't stop anybody anymore because the league has tied all the defenders' hands behind their back. And it started back in 2003 when the whiny little Colts, who were soft little tiny wide receivers, couldn't get off the jams of the New England Patriots. They thought to themselves, let's change the rule. The next year they lost the game and they scored less points against the Patriots in the playoffs. Huh. And they were going up against backup cornerbacks. Huh. But ever since then, it's just been this incremental change of, let's make it more and more difficult to be a defender. Oh, you tackled a quarterback? Did you tackle him too hard? Did you go too low? Did you go too high? Did you lightly graze his head with your hand? They allow delay of games to happen now. You can get away with a false start these days. There are so many things that are in favor of the offense, and I get why it's done. But in this situation, you're going to find yourself right back at square one after both of those teams get a possession. Well, what happens then? I suppose one of these teams might get stopped or only end up getting a field goal, and maybe this is a little bit easier in the playoffs. But when the reason that we are talking about an overtime rule change is because of the Bills-Chiefs game. And at what point in that game did you see anything that led you to believe that a defense was going to make a stop? They were scoring touchdowns with like 3 second drives where they somehow were getting off two plays, which doesn't even seem possible. I mean, that game was out of control. It was fun. It was awesome. this rule does not necessarily fix everything. I feel like you need rules that help defensive players out more than you need a rule that helps out overtime. And honestly, you know, if we look at the way that the game is played as it is now, sudden death has been the way of the NFL for a while. I know Mike Tomlin said, "I don't fear sudden death." Like, okay, Batman. But if you really want to have the game and then a possible overtime feel the same and give teams equal chances, then you add a quarter that's 15 minutes. You do it the way soccer does it. 15 more minutes of football. What's wrong with that? Oh, well, they'll be tired. The Players Association won't sign off on it. Yeah, like that stopped you before. The best way, and Vanessa's had this proposal before on this show, and she was the one that said it, and I was like, yeah, that's simple, that's easy, that's smart. The approach should be that it's 15 extra minutes. And whoever has the most at the end of that 15-minute session, that's it. You can add a two-minute warning at the end of it if you really want to throw a little extra wild card in the mix or something like that. That, to me, is a much better solution than each team gets an extra possession. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't think I am. I feel like this is just going to lead to the same conversation happening again. And if we continuously try to fix overtime over and over again, I mean, what are we really doing? We've already fixed overtime once over the course of the last decade. Now we're fixing it again. How many more times are we going to need to fix it? The only perfect solution is adding 15 extra minutes. Let's take a look at some text. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Texter says, you go for two if you're the second team to score and end the game there. Well, that was the rule that the Titans proposed. The Titans proposed that, like, I think that you just, you have to score a touchdown and a two-point conversion or something like that. Sean, you have to say something? Something to say? Something to share? What's going on?
I think it was, wasn't it? It was this rule, except that the team who, if you score first and get the two, you win, right? It was something where it guarantees both teams the ball unless that happens, right?
Yeah, that was the caveat. Yes, thanks, yeah. Sean. I forgot it off the top of my head.
I mean, it's hard to remember the proposed rules that don't get chosen, like these hypothetical rules.
I feel like I found also the moment that we can replace me with, people don't know I'm a cat dad. Me tossing to you right there, where I was like,
I thought you were doing an Austin Powers thing or something.
I was just not able to speak English in that moment. That was fun. Good time by all. One texter suggests 15 minutes, no commercials, no clock stoppage. I like the no clock stoppage idea. The commercial thing would go hand in hand with that. But there's no way that they're not going to add extra commercials if they can.
Yeah, no commercials is a great idea, but it's just not an actionable one.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
What a bummer that is.
Yeah. That, like, we can't even, like, entertain the idea that, like, what if we just don't have commercials for these games? Like, nah.
I know some of you guys hate the way that soccer is.
You guys hate soccer.
Yeah. I gotta say this about soccer, like with this continuous clock and the no commercials.
They nailed it.
It really is like an easy watch. I know it's boring and things don't happen if you don't appreciate the game. I appreciate it because I played FIFA. Like, that's why I like it, but I'm not like a huge soccer fan by any means. I'm not going out of my way to watch soccer in the morning. You know, like Premier League soccer's on at like 8 in the morning. Sorry.
I'm not going to the pub to go watch it. Yeah.
I mean, I would like to go to the pub. I just don't want to wake up at 8 in the morning. You know, I don't like waking up early. I used to get crap about this, you know, on the West Coast when I was in Seattle. But like, Paul, like, what? It's great to watch sports in the morning. No, it's not. I want to sleep in because I probably drank too much the night before. I'm probably going to be in bed shaking off a hangover for a while. I'm not bragging about this. It's just like how I'm wired. I'm not a morning person on the weekends. I like to sleep in. But I will say this about soccer. Like, they have actually, I think, nailed it as far as, hey, no commercials. Game just cruises along and boom, that's it. Anyway, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, a text as far as an overtime suggestion. Overtime is 7.5 minutes. One timeout, 2-minute warning. I don't know. No, there's too many 7-minute drives. No, You can't do that. It's got to be the full 15. The 10-minute thing I think sucks as it is. And I get it, it's in the regular season. It's supposed to keep players from being too tired in case there's a Thursday game or something like that. But I don't like that one. Not at all. I feel like that has led to more ties. 10 minutes isn't enough. 15 is fine.
Like, it's like a drive and then a kind of fast drive.
Yeah, exactly. The reason that they shrunk it to 10 was because some teams play Thursday night football. Shrunk it to 10. And I remember thinking to myself, like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, especially if overtime was supposed to be sudden death. I suppose if you will turn it to the suggestion that Vanessa and I would have, which is to just make it a 15-minute quarter, okay, well, then maybe we're talking about something entirely different here, but play an extra quarter. If you're going to whine about fairness, this is the way to go. I think that they are just gung-ho about keeping sudden death in the game because that's the way that overtime had been done at first, and that the coin toss is too much of a factor these days as far as who actually wins. The team who gets the ball first generally is the one who wins. But if you are going to complain about fairness, then having the quarter just be an extension of the game itself where it's the same thing, that's the way to go.
But the downside, like you mentioned, you don't get when they show the graphic and they go after the first two possessions, sudden death. That's a pretty cool graphic to throw up on the screen.
Yeah, it is.
Or next score wins. That's another. I think most of it is just because how cool the graphics are. You get to put up next score wins.
Well, I the idea that the game is over, but you could walk off on a touchdown,
yeah.
That is, to that point, yes, that is actually cool. I like that part of it. And you might lose that. And you might have kneel downs ending a game in overtime, which...
anticlimactic.
Yeah, it is a little lame. You also could have some team just score like 4 touchdowns in overtime, and it would be like they win by 28
in
overtime.
It'd be a weird like first box score to look at. Wait, how'd they win by 17 in overtime?
It's the team's running up the score in overtime. Yeah, that part I guess is probably the biggest wrinkle. It's like
maybe 15-minute quarter unless one team goes up by 8 or more or 9 or more.
Okay.
Two possessions.
Yeah, you know what? 2 possessions, sudden death. Yeah. I like that. Okay, good idea, Sean. That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. Your suggestions for overtime, which has just changed, the NFL in the playoffs is now going to guarantee both teams a possession in the playoffs. How do you feel about it? 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You can tweet me at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. No, Vanessa, she's up in Indianapolis with her dad. We're thinking about her, thinking about her family as well right now. We wrap things up after this.
ESPN
97.5.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Missing Vanessa, she's up in Indianapolis with her dad. I'm Paul Gallant. We got Sean Mapes, our new producer, behind the glass right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. ESPN, what did I say? Gosh, sometimes I just speak too quickly and it all turns into just a complete mishmash of words without actually sounding like any words. The big news in the NFL today is the rule change that took place, the league owner meetings. Playoff overtime, not regular season overtime, is now going to guarantee that each team gets a possession so we don't have a game like between the Bills and the Chiefs end with one team crying. We didn't get the ball. If we'd gotten the ball, we would have scored. So now both teams are guaranteed at least one possession. And I suppose we will hear less whining. Not. We will always hear whining about the rules. That's why it's a tricky box to open. We do have some suggestions on the text line and on Twitter as well about what would take place. Warren Fawcett tweeted at me, what happens if both teams are still tied after the fifth quarter? Well, then crap. I don't know. I didn't really think that far ahead.
Sixth quarter?
Yeah. Let's just keep going. I mean, my favorite football game ever is probably, I know a lot of people are going to say that the game between the Bills and the Chiefs, and that was a hell of a game. I really liked this playoff game that took place between the Broncos and Ravens in the 2012-2013 season. For those who don't remember, that game went to double overtime. And it was a drunk-ass game. The Broncos had the lead late. The Ravens were done before they went on their Super Bowl run with Ray Lewis and his deer antler spray. They were done. And former Texan Jacoby Jones runs straight down the right sideline, and Joe Moonball Flacco threw the ball as far as he could. And future Houston Texan Raheem actually gave himself the nickname The Dream. Moore just completely ate it while backpedaling trying to cover it. Jones catches it. Game goes to overtime. And in overtime, no one could score. And it was an awesome game. And eventually, the Ravens won in the second overtime. I don't mind it in the playoffs. I don't mind double overtime at all. Regular season, though, I can understand players are going to complain about it. A texter asks, what's wrong with college rules? No field goals or extra points. Well, the new college rules are definitely better, but it's the big problem I have with the college rules is it just feels gimmicky compared to the rest of the game. I don't want it to be dramatically different. You know, we have a couple of other suggestions here that I feel like are gimmicky. Good ideas, but
more XFL ideas.
Yeah, like
USFL ideas.
Text in from the 409. Longest field goal contest to see who gets the ball first to replace the coin toss, then sudden death. Okay. That's gimmicky.
I feel like you just made the coin flip like a longer scenario. Like, this is going to be 5 minutes to figure out who gets the ball first.
Or it's just the Ravens are going to win every single time. Or
no,
Matt
Prater.
No, but
it's just the coin flip.
Yeah, that's true.
Win the coin flip. You're having a field goal kicking contest to see who gets the ball.
You know, I would, if we're going to do something gimmicky like this, how about an Oklahoma drill?
Isn't that what the original XFL did? Or no, they put a ball in the
put a ball on the ground and someone had to recover it.
Super hurt.
Whatever. Made more sense than a coin toss. Look, violent, bloody, etc. But
these are things that Paul Gallant stands for. Violence.
Yeah.
Bloodshed.
Yeah. Listen, Sean, not to brag, but as someone who led his team in recovered fumbles, I had 6. I mean, that's randomly, that's a randomly high number my senior year. I appreciate someone who can recover a fumble. You fall on the ball, get in the fetal position, and don't let anyone tear your head off. The first time I ever tried to recover a fumble in high school, Paul, are you talking about high school football? Yes. Someone actually twisted my helmet all the way around. Someone was also poking at my marbles. That wasn't fun. I had the ball first, too. I was a sophomore. This was during a spring game. Fell on it, and like I just got legitimately assaulted. It was actual assault underneath there. So, I mean, yeah, it's a little dangerous, that's for sure. But if we're going to do gimmicks, let's do a gimmick like that. Another text in. Bootsy. Yeah, this is Bootsy. Also known as Paul Gallant. Also known as Paulie G. Also known as Gallant. Also known as... What else do I have as a nickname? Yeah, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. Have you given yourself nicknames, Paul? Yes. That's not cool. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's 713-780-3776. If you got some thoughts on college overtime, excuse me, not college overtime. I'm thinking college overtime all of a sudden. It's not that gimmicky yet. At Gallant says as well on Twitter. So, you know, when I feel like what I feel like you have as far as the NFL and rule changes that are necessary, I do think we need to start going back to rules that help defensive players out. I don't think we're ever going to do that. I don't even think any were really proposed at the league meetings. But there you go. There you go, everybody, on that front. Okay. A couple other things to touch on before we hit the road. There are some baseball rule changes that we haven't touched on. The ghost runner is staying on second in the 10th inning. This is something we had in the rundown a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, and we just never dove into it. It's a gimmick. It's lame in comparison to the rest of the sport. I feel like baseball, though, you could use a gimmick or two. It hurts pitchers' ERAs if you come into a game and all of a sudden there's a guy on second base in extra innings. But Who actually wants to watch a 15-inning baseball game? Or a 16-inning baseball game? If it's the playoffs, different story. But if it's the regular season, do you want to see that? Do you really want that?
My only, like, revision for the ghost runner rule would just be to have it start in, like, the 11th or the 12th inning. Like, give me one extra inning of regular baseball, and then we can start getting... Because, like you said, no one cares about a 10 or 11-inning game.
No.
They care about the 14, 15 ones where it's like, okay, get us out of here.
Yeah, and those do happen.
Even with the runner rule. I feel like, didn't L.A. and San Diego play like a long game?
17 or 18-inning game or something like that. That's got to be miserable if you stick around for the entire game, too, because they stop serving alcohol in the 7th inning. So if it's like a 16-inning game, like they should reopen.
I could imagine myself sitting there and be like, all right, at the bottom of the 13th, after that, I'm leaving. And you're like, we're so close. You know what? The 15th. I'll give them two more, you know, get back to the top of the order, and then we'll see. And then, yeah, then you're there all night.
Once you're that committed, I mean, what's the point of leaving early?
It's already ruined your night.
Or yeah. Like,
it's already taken up your entire night. Might as well just stay up.
Just stay the whole time. In fact, you might actually beat traffic by staying. You know, if the game's longer. Oh, wait. I'll just keep waiting until there's legitimately five people left here. I don't hate the runner on second. Now, part of it had to do with last year, the Mariners who couldn't score a run. I was like, anything that will help the Mariners score. And the Mariners randomly were very good in extra inning games. And I think it was entirely because, oh, wow, we have base runners? Wow, this is great.
They literally just needed training wheels.
Yeah.
That's what they needed.
Exactly.
Just start us with someone on second. We can get one hit. We cannot get two.
It's amazing they had as many wins as they did last year with the offense that they did. They will be a better team this
year. Didn't they win like 51 run games or something crazy?
It was crazy.
Like that?
Yeah. Yes, it was nuts. Because their bullpen wasn't even amazing either. You know, it was such a weird team. Like that, they had no business being as good as they were last year. But they're fun. They're scrappy. And they'll be annoying to the Astros this year. Other rules that are going to happen in baseball. If a pitcher elects to hit in the lineup, they will remain in the game as the DH if they want to as they exit the mound for the day. So that's entirely because of Shohei Ohtani. I would veto this rule. It's for one player. Oh, but Shohei Ohtani's cool, Paul. I don't care. He's in my division. Screw him. Screw the Angels. I don't want him to do that. Nope. I want to help myself out. Doubleheaders for 9 innings now. But I saw a rule, there's the Savannah Bananas, they're a baseball team. And if a fan in the stands catches a foul ball, that batter is out. That is a crazy rule. That is the gimmick I can get behind.
I'd be so upset if I was the batter. Well, I'd be like, come on.
The best would be if you're there for the home team, and you're about to catch a ball, and someone just comes out of nowhere and like just tackles you, and like just drills you so you don't record the final out. Like, that would encourage people to like be violent to Steve Bartman's of the world, you know? Like, that would stop a Steve Bartman situation from happening. He might die, but, you know, sometimes it's all about championships, not about casualties along the way. That was messed up. Hey, everybody, big thanks for tuning in to today's edition of the Vanessa and Gallant radio program. We do think Vanessa will be back with us tomorrow. Send her your thoughts, your prayers, etc. She definitely could use them, and her father could as well. For Sean Mapes, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. The Killer Bees are next.
ESPN 97.5.